If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3, if it helps you any, this is not a book that we use or look into very often. It is the book that follows Daniel. And we'll be looking again at chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3, and beginning our reading this morning with verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and an homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, dear Lord, we're very thankful for the privilege to be in thy house this morning with thy people. Lord, we're thankful for this good number that has come out this day. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Dear Father, that we would get a good, firm understanding of your love for your people and your children, and how that you're also long-suffering for thy people. And dear Lord, I just pray that as we see the truths that you reveal to us here, Father, that we would make sure that our lives stay in line with thee. And dear Lord, what you'll do, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to is brought back from rebellion. Brought back from rebellion. You know, rebellion is something that people today seem to take pride in. You know, I'm a rebel. You know, I rebel against the man. You know, rebel against conformity and things of that nature. But keep in mind that in the Scripture, God takes a very dim view of rebellion. Rebellion is always equated with sin. As far as I know, I hate to say every and always in regard to things in Scripture, because as soon as I do, we'll find an exception to it. So as far as I know, it's always equated with sin in the Scripture. This morning we're going to continue our series that's dealing with the book of Hosea. Last time we began by introducing the prophet Hosea and seeing how that God had told him to go marry a woman out of the harlots, which he did, being Gomer. God had told him what she was going to do, that she would not be faithful to him, she would not be true to him, that she would in fact go out and commit adultery, which she did, and she bore children out of that adultery. And now the time has come for Hosea to bring her back to his home. It's also, we need to remember, and we kind of touched on it last time, is how difficult the circumstances that this brought upon his family because of the infidelity of his wife Gomer. Now you got to remember, in a small area, or a relatively small area, everybody knows pretty much what's going on, right? And if somebody gets into trouble, you can say, oh, I remember, I've seen that person. For example, that lady, or I ain't going to say, I'm not going to dignify her that way, that woman that was arrested last week on, what was it, 62 felony counts? 162, that's right, 162 felony counts of fraud, of identity theft, of uttering, where she had gotten control over the finances of this elderly woman that she was watching and supposedly caring for. She had gotten two credit cards under the lady's name and maxed them out. She was writing checks on the lady's. One last report I read said that, you know how you get those things in the mail for various credit cards? She had gotten an American Express under this older lady's name. But they got her. Thank God they got her. And when they showed her picture, I said, I remember her. I've seen her. I know who that is. So in a small town, things know. And I said all that to get to this. It was well known where Hosea lived what was going on. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't something that could be hidden in any way. And there's no indication that Hosea desired to do so. But just think about the shame and reproach it brought upon him. And the shame and reproach that was brought upon his home. Think back to when one day Jesus was having it out with some of the religious elite of his day about his heritage or his lineage, if you will. And they point out, well, we weren't born of fornication. Now, don't take a rocket scientist to figure out by our day what they called him. But they knew that he had been born before the marriage. So this you can think about what was going on in that particular day, in that time. This is another one of those areas where we have to remember that everything that went on, God was in absolute and complete control over. It wasn't just happening by accident. It wasn't something that God didn't realize was going to happen. He was fully aware of it and fully in control of everything that was going on. This is true, beloved, not only in the world as a whole, but in the lives of people. Think about how that God would raise up a nation to bring judgment upon Israel when Israel sinned and Israel took after other gods. Think about individuals that God has raised up and used for his purpose. Some that were lost, some that were not. So remember, nothing in this world is spinning out of control, but God is in control of all things at all times, and even things such as this. This is a situation that God was going to use to teach Israel a tremendous and unmistakable lesson, not only about their sin, but also his unwavering love for them. Now, I'm sure that Hosea wished that the lesson could have been taught a different way. But that was the way that God was going to do it, and there was no mistaking what happened. This is also a lesson that, beloved, we have to learn if our lives are ever going to be the kind of life that they ought to be for God. And what I mean is, when we allow ourselves to drift into sin and allow ourselves to not confess that sin before God, to let it go on in our lives, to let it fester in our lives, eventually, beloved, we will come under the judgment of God as well. Because God cannot and will not condone sin. And the whole time that we are dwelling like that, and we are living like that, and we are existing like that, God is not blessing us, nor is God blessing our work, nor is God blessing the things that we're going through. Sometimes, I think a lot of the times, the most effective lessons that we can ever hope to learn are those ones that we call object lessons. Object lessons are those things that kind of really drive home what it is that we're doing. And it just makes it a lot easier to grasp a hold of some concepts if you can actually see it and see what's being explained from it. And in many ways, this is the type of lesson that we have in the book of Hosea. Now, chapter 2, which we didn't deal with, and as we go through Hosea, we're not going to be looking specifically at every chapter. We're just going to be looking at some of them as we look within the confines of the subject that we're dealing with. Chapter 2 dealt with God's punishment of sin, as well as his marvelous grace in the life of Gomer. The cold, hard fact of the matter is that we should be extremely thankful that God punishes even our sin. He said, now wait a minute, why should I be thankful that God brings judgment on me? Why should I be thankful for everything that it does for me? It is because that by this we can see that he loves us, and also we can see that we are indeed his children. I shudder to think just how far into sin we would go unless there was some way to be brought back and as a means of check and balances. in our life. You know, when you look around, it's not too difficult, as an example, to see children whose parents are raising them and children who are raising their parents. It's not too difficult to see it and think about, really, which parents love their children the most. It's those ones that make them mind, isn't it? Because it gets them more prepared for the world that they're going to go into. Nobody enjoys it, but we need to be thankful for it nonetheless. We need to be thankful that we are not left alone in this world, just to drift and go as the wind, so to speak, or drift with the current. Although Gomer had wandered in sin, just like the nation of Israel, the lesson is a beautiful lesson of his dealing with Israel. God remained merciful and God remained gracious towards her. And I am so thankful that God is long-suffering towards us. That we, when we drift into sin, when we allow ourselves to go into areas that we should not be, he is still merciful to us. I love that passage of Scripture in the New Testament that says if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our to cleanse us of our sins and to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Is that verse true? Beloved, we need to be very thankful for that fact and what it can do for those and for in our lives. Yet in spite of what was going on in Gomer's life, she continued to be committed to her immoral lifestyle. And this was a lifestyle that, as we looked at a few moments ago, continued to bring much pain and despair to her family. Not only was she bringing this upon herself and her family, she didn't appear to care. Didn't matter to her. She was happy in her sin. And beloved, until God touches a person's heart, every person is happy in their sin. They're happy as a hog wallowing in mud, to be honest with you. They don't care. Seems like the filthier they get, the better they like it. And it seems like a person, until God speaks to their heart, the more vile sin they can get into, the better they like it. The better they enjoy it. The happier that they are in that sin. The fact is that she had gone so far as to be willing to have herself sold in the cellar, in the slavery, into slavery by this man that she was having the adulterous affair with. Think about that. What free person in their right mind would want to allow themselves without any argument to be sold into slavery? But then again, those individuals who are lost in their sins very rarely ever do things that you look back and say, what on earth are they thinking? Why would they act that way? Because of their sin. Because they're dead spiritually. And that's really the only way that they can act. This was the same man in which she had developed this relationship with. And all this time, she remained the wife of Hosea. And yet, here we find her, set to be auctioned off to the highest bidder at the slave market. Now, there are a lot of principles that could be looked at in this particular passage. As with any of these passages of Hosea, it's full of them. Great teachings that are there. For example, there are valuable lessons regarding faithfulness within the home, within the marriage. And there's also our responsibilities to our spouses, both the husbands to the wives and the wives to the husbands that are there. There can be no arguing that this is something that's very needful and important, especially in our modern day where our homes just seem to be cast aside and with no thought whatsoever. However, the greatest principle revealed in this passage, in this scripture, or in this passage, or within this whole book, is the love of God and how it is extended to those who are undeserving. It'd been easy for us to say, to stand back and say, well, Gomer's going to get what she's got coming. You know, I have no pity for her. And yet, God extends love and mercy to those who are undeserving. And if you're going to be honest, when God saved us by his marvelous grace, he did so to us who were undeserving. And if you're here this morning and lost, Don't allow the devil to make you think, well, you don't deserve to be saved. You can't be. Well, guess what? Nobody in this room deserves to be saved. But God did it by His marvelous grace. So as we look at this morning, I want to deal with it from the standpoint of how it compares to the gospel and the message of the gospel that's given to us. And we hopefully we'll see some things that God did for us through Jesus. Now, the first thing we want to deal with is the expectation revealed. This we find in verse 1. Keep in mind that Gomer has given herself over and about to be totally enslaved because of her infidelity, and ready to stand up on the block and go to whoever would bid the most for her. Didn't matter who it was. In the participation here, we find that God, remember, had instructed Hosea to take Gomer as his wife. And this is all the while, again, knowing what she was going to do. True to God's warning, Gomer had lived a life of adultery. Isn't it amazing? When we look at the scripture, we find how many times that the warnings of God come to be true. It's like everything that God tells us is going to happen, will happen. And you know why that is? He's God. And He's perfect. So if you find a warning from Him in the scripture, you had better heed it. Because it will come true. It's not somebody just blowing hot air. It is, in fact, the message from the sovereign, almighty God of the universe. So you better take heed to what's there. This was a life that was bringing both shame and despair to Hosea and his family. Now keep in mind, at this particular point in time, it's very likely that she had been gone for the home a good while. Remember, based off of what evidence we can find, she had already borne two children while she was away. So this wasn't just a few months, 6 months, 8 months down the road. She had been gone quite a while. That she was living in this particular way. And, you know, those of us who are saved by grace had lived in sin for quite a while, hadn't we? And those individuals that God saves even this day may very well have been living in sin for a long time. But that being so, God's grace is still sufficient, isn't it? God's mercy is still there for those who will act upon that which He would have them to do. It's quite true that most of us cannot fully understand or appreciate the pain of Hosea had endured. There's a lot of things in life that we think we know, but we don't know. For example, I remember mentioning this to Mike some time ago now, so far as the ministry is concerned. And he had a good grasp, and I told him, you know, you think you know how this goes, how this works, but no, you don't. You don't know until you're in the middle of it, right? You don't know what it's like to have to care for a person who's battling terminal illness, whatever it might be, unless you've been there. You think you know, but you don't know. And trust me, you may think you know what it's like to tend to somebody who's battling Alzheimer's, but unless you have and unless you are, you don't know. You don't know. So it's hard for us to fully appreciate what Hosea is going through. Yet God commanded him to go to her to still extend his love towards her, which apparently he still had love for her, even though she had been unfaithful to him on numerous occasions and probably most of the time that they had been together. She had been playing this part. The principle involved is that this is something that would have been extremely difficult for Hosea to do. Now we talk about today somebody having to swallow the pride. That's exactly what Hosea would have had to done. Hosea was committed to, by the instruction of God, to go down to the slave market, go down to where it was going to happen, and you take care of, you purchase her back. You bring her back. After everything she did, I am so glad that our lives, our sin, as vile as it might be, or not might be, as vile as it truly is, and as ugly as it is, the Lord is always there for us. He's always there to forgive us and help us if we'll do nothing but simply ask for it. He may well have wondered, why the Lord wanted him to provide such an example before Israel. Somebody else could have done it. You know, why couldn't he have done it a different way? That's only human, isn't it? We get put in a difficult spot. We begin to wonder, even if we don't utter, we begin to understand exactly what's going. Why am I going through this? Why is this going on? Why is this happening to me? This was especially true when this example required such a tremendous sacrifice on his part. You know, this was costing him a lot so far as in the eyes of the people, but it was the purpose of God. Through Hosea's love and devotion that existed toward Gomer, regardless of what she was guilty of, even though she had been unfaithful, God would show forth and affirm to Israel his love for them. And beloved, I think it very well affirms God's love for us, those of us who have been saved by his marvelous grace. Like Hosea, God had not approved of the idolatry that they were engaged toward him as he wasn't approving the adultery that Gomer was in. And the immorality that existed in Israel, just as the immorality that Gomer was engaged in. But God's love for them, for Israel, remained just as God's love for us remains. It is there, it is steadfast. Beloved, it is eternal. God would demonstrate his love for Israel through the faithfulness of Hosea to Gomer. I don't really think that we truly, fully appreciate how the depth of God's eternal love for us. Because, you know, I don't care who we are, we have limits on our feelings, don't we? And there may come that time when, you know, a person has to question a few things and some things that may have to be worked out. God's love for us is unconditional. And it's steadfast. And it never wavers. And it is beyond our ability to fully grasp that, because the kind of love we're talking about here from God is that agape love, which is altogether different than what we have. There's a definite contrast that is here. Such love as this is, again, difficult for us to understand. Most people eventually reach a point in life where they can't seem to go much further. While their love may remain, they reach a point when they just can't seem to understand or bear being with somebody who has wronged them. And that, again, that is a time when folks need to sit down and talk about it, and it needs to be resolved. Not that it can't be, because it can, but it's something that needs to be resolved. While we are unable to possess or show the love of God, I'm glad the Lord was able and willing to extend that love to us and demonstrate it to us, as he's showing here to Israel through Hosea and Gomer. The love of Hosea for Gomer paints a beautiful, beautiful picture of the love of the Lord for us, as we've been talking through here. Like Gomer, we sought only to please the desires of the flesh. We sought to only please that which we wanted, at the cost of anything and everything else. We had received, had we received what we deserved, we would be left enslaved to our sin and forced to have to face the consequences of the fact that we were enslaved to our sin, what was going to come to us. And yet, in spite of it all, Jesus extended his grace and his love towards us and saved us by his marvelous grace, just as he will this very day. Any sinner that he's spoken to, and any sinner that he draws to himself, he will redeem and set you on the path where you need to be on. Thank God for his grace. He loved us when we were totally unlovable. The world would have looked at Gomer and thought that there was no way that anybody could love her. You know, she was unlovable by the world's standards, and yet Hosea did. And really, when you consider our standing when God saved us, we most certainly would appear to have been unlovable, wouldn't we? We love him because he first loved us. Secondly, the expense that was involved, verse 2, is here that we find Hosea's obedience to God and also his faithfulness to Gomer as he ransomed her from slavery. The payment that was made is Hosea made his way to the slave market, committed to ransom Gomer regardless of what it cost. And, you know, I don't know anything about the markets at that time, but I know what I have read about the slave markets in America before the Civil War. They were a pretty filthy, disgusting place. In many ways, they were more vile than a cattle market, as far as that goes. And that was where people's lives were treated as though they were an animal. She was the one who was responsible for her condition. Hosea wasn't guilty of it any more than God was guilty of the position we were in. That was all of our doing. He had tried to walk with the Lord. He had tried to remain committed to the marriage. And yet, they seemed as though the two were going in opposite directions of one another. Yet in spite of this, he was the one who had served God faithfully, the one who had remained true to the marriage. He was the one that was going to have to pay for her infidelity. Why? She had nothing to pay with. Who among us today had the ability to justify, merit, or pay for our salvation? You know, it just wasn't there. You know, I mentioned the Civil War a while ago. Remember that there was provisions in that when they set up the draft that a person could be exempted from going to the draft if they would pay a certain amount of money. Or those, they could get somebody else to serve in their place for a certain amount of money. And that sounds, man, that was only for the rich people, and yeah, it was. But that did serve the purpose. It gave the government much needed money to carry the war effort on. So, I mean, it was one of those things that worked both ways. Was it right? No, because the common people had to fight and die while the rich did not. But at any rate, there wasn't anybody that could pay for what God did for them. I don't care how rich they were or are. Just as there's nobody that can pay, no way Gomer could pay for what was about to happen to her. Imagine how she must have felt. Imagine what must have went through her mind as Hosea offered his bids to purchase her from slavery. I can only imagine the guilt that would have had to have washed over her. She would become hardened to her sin. She had become callous to her sin, no doubt. But think about the guilt that would have had to have rushed over her at that particular moment for what she was doing. He paid 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley. And a homer and a half of barley would be roughly a month's supply of barley. There seems to be agreement by a lot of folks that deal in this, that have gotten in this rather deeply, to have said that at that time that much barley would have been worth about the price of another 15 pieces of silver. So this would bring the cost of purchasing her to 30 pieces of silver, which was in fact the common price of a slave. Does that figure ring a bell with anybody? 30 pieces of silver? That's the price that Judas received for betraying the Lord. 30 pieces of silver. It's not too hard to see the connection here, is it? How it's all coming together. As we look at us, this is a beautiful picture of what the Lord did for us. He was innocent, having committed no sin. He was innocent in that he was the pure, perfect, sinless Lamb of God in the sin-cursed world. We were guilty and we were condemned. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 3, I come not into the world to condemn the world because the world's condemned already. So this was a situation where when they was here, the price had already been declared on Gomer. She was guilty, and the price was going to be paid. In spite of all that we were guilty of, Jesus came and willing to pay the debt that we owed. Now, Jesus declared that I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. Nobody takes it from me. Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross so that we might be freed from our sins. Payment for our sin cost more than 30 pieces of silver, inasmuch it cost the blood of the Lord. Financially, that's what he got for it. As we stood before God guilty and condemned in our sin, Jesus stepped forward and willingly paid the debt on our behalf. How? He did this as he died in our place on Calvary. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So that is what the Lord did for us. Notice the provision. Apparently, the man Gomer had sold herself or had given herself to in his relationship no longer wanted her. He had gotten tired of her. And he was just ready to throw her away, essentially. Well, no, not really throw away. The guy was probably Jew, so he was going to get some money out of it. He was going to sell her. You know, the world will be your best friend until they get tired of you. And then they'll move on. Look what happened to the story of the prodigal son. He had more friends than you could count until all of his money was gone and his friends left. Think of it this way. In the world of entertainment, whether it be in acting or in music, those that are in the positions of power are constantly looking for the next best thing. So what happens? Oh, a star may burn brightly for a while, but then before you know it, their name's not even mentioned in whatever became of. Now, there are some that persevere, but they are very few. They're able to stand the test of time. The world is always looking for the next best thing. And fidelity to an individual, loyalty to an individual, is not something that is looked upon as favorably as I think it ought to be. For example, if I hear a fellow telling me that he's been in the ministry for 40 years, and in 40 years he's pastored 20 churches, that doesn't impress me a bit. That just doesn't. That shows me a feller who, as soon as things get hot, he runs. What does impress me is to see a fellow that's pastored the same church for 40 years. Now, that does tell me a lot about a person's character and their perseverance to what God has called them for. And this was showing to Gomer the love that that Hosea had for her, and how abiding and deep it was, and also for what God does for us. However, in this case, where her sin abounded, grace much more abounded as it was sent to her. She had become nothing more than a piece of property to be bought at a slave market. And that's it. What's that show? The man that she had went to really didn't have any feelings for her at all. He didn't care about her at all. It was just something in the flesh. The debt was settled, and she would no longer have to worry about being enslaved. When Hosea paid, it was paid in full. And beloved, when God saved us by His marvelous grace, the debt was paid in full. Our sin was forgiven, never to be held against us, never to be remembered again, because of the mercy of God. She had been set free and was invited to return home with Hosea. When we think about what Jesus did, this is exactly what He did when He paid the debt we owed, a price that we were unable to pay. He offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sin and forever appeased the righteous demands of the Father. All those, whomever they might be, that are saved by grace have been set free from the slavery and condemnation of sin. Our debts forever settled. We are free in Jesus. The Scripture says that those to whom the Son sets free are what? Free indeed. Thirdly, the provision provided. Verse 3. Here we find the standing of Gomer following her deliverance from slavery. There were boundaries that were set. Beloved, any home has to have boundaries. I don't care how old a child may be that lives with you. Trust me, this I know. There are boundaries. You know, you will be back at such and such a time. You will do this, you won't do that. You know, those are just things that you said as parents, what they do. Gomer was about to have some boundaries. She was required to abide within the home for many days. How many days? I don't know. The Bible just says many days. And what the purpose of that was, Hosea wanted to ensure that she would remain faithful, that she wouldn't have been set free and got home and then turned around and went right back to where she came from, that she would remain faithful to him, knowing that she would be tempted to return to her former lifestyle, just as you and I or anybody is tempted to go back to the sin that we used to commit so freely. Our flesh is still inclined to do that. There was a lot of work that was going to have to be restored in that home. This serves as a reminder of our obligation to remain true, to remain honest, and to remain faithful to our Lord, and not to just go out and chase after everything we want to. We're no longer our own. The Scripture tells it very clear that we're not our own, but we are bought with a price. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All believers must live in a way that pleases the Lord and bears witness of His grace. And any time that we don't, we are not in the will of God. We are subject to falling the judgment of God for that fact. We must guard our lives and resist the temptation to step outside the boundaries the Lord has set. We may be free, but the Lord has set boundaries for us, hasn't He? Those things that were sin before are sin now. And we're not to allow ourselves to go after those things that that are sin. We must seek to honor God. Simply put, the behavior. Hosea set limits to where Gomer could go, and he also revealed his expectations regarding her behavior. Simply put, the way and the things that she had done before was not going to be tolerated now. You are not going to do that. And you know, that's the same thing the way we live before the Lord, isn't it? There are certain things that we're told that we're just not to do. We're not going to do it. And we be ahead to heed the warnings and not do those, whatever those things may be, the sin that God specifically deals with in each of our lives. He expected Gomer to abandon the behavior of her past and remain faithful to Him and Him alone, just as God expects us to abandon the sins and the lifestyle of the past and remain faithful and true to Him as we serve Him day by day. The days of immorality and adultery were over. I've said this to people many times, and I stand on it with everything I have. It doesn't matter what a person's past is. If I talk to a person and they begin to say, well, I used to do this and this and that and the other, I don't care about any of that. Only thing I'm concerned about is right now. The past is past. It's over. Forget about it. You know, if it would make you feel better, I'll certainly listen. But I don't need to know, and I'm not asking. Just what you're doing right now. And especially if you're saved, then all that definitely matters is right now, what you're doing going forward. Thank God our past isn't held against us, right? We are in a position now of going forward. We cannot indulge the flesh and please the Lord at the same time. Our lives and behavior must reflect the grace of the Lord and the wonderful transformation that has taken place in our lives at the time of salvation. That is a must that we have, and there's no way that we can get around it. Our lives must be lived in devotion to Jesus and not in an effort to please the flesh. Such commitment, such love, such devotion is impossible within ourselves. That would mean that we could serve God in our own might, that we could serve God in our own ability, our own whatever I'm trying to say there. We could do it in our own, but we know that we can't. It has to be brought to us by the Lord. This is something that the Lord provides for us, the strength that we need to fight the flesh and flee from temptation. Aren't you glad that His grace is there? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, right? That's given to us. Lastly, the blessing. Human reasoning would have argued very forcefully that Gomer had simply got what she had coming. We've already touched on that. She had lived a life of sin, and her sin had caught up with her. Her chickens came home to roost, or any of the other things that we say that reflect that thought. She was forced to face the consequences of the life she lived. Every decision we make has consequences, doesn't it? I don't think that we can make a decision and that's the end of it. There are consequences with them, some good, some bad, some immediate, some down the road. But there are consequences that comes with them. Most would not have had any compassion and left her in the difficulty that she faced. And yet, Hosea showed grace to her, just as God has showed grace to us. The sin of her past had been set aside, and she now would enjoy all the blessings and benefits of being Hosea's wife, living in Hosea's home. And beloved, our sins have all been set aside. Our sins have been all forgiven. And now we can enjoy the blessings of being a child of God and living in His presence and following His leadership and guidance into whatever area that He would have us to go into. God has chosen to forget the sin of our past, and they are as far as the east is from the west. And as you know, that is an indeterminate amount of space. You cannot reach it. And that's how far our sins are. They are unfathomable, unfindable, and they're gone forever. We were accepted of God. Why? It may sound like why did God save me? I used to wonder that. But I found the answer in the Scripture. You know what? The reason why God saved you and the reason why God saved me? Because of the righteousness of Jesus, that's why. He saved us to bring honor and glory to Himself. That's why. We are a testimony to the faithfulness and love of God in this wicked world. Gomer's guilt was never in question. Nobody thought she was innocent. Nobody thought she hadn't done the things that she actually did. She was guilty as guilty could be, but the grace that was extended to her exceeded her sin. There was never any doubt as to whether we were guilty, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? There was no question of our guilt. It was definite. It was there. It was before us. But God's grace was greater than that sin, and it was able to take care of what needed to be done. Our sin is undeniable, but grace stands at the forefront, cleansing our sin. We would never desire what Jesus has provided. However, He gives it freely to His people. Beloved, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you can't just say, well, I think that's what I want and decide that's what you're going to do. It doesn't work that way. But if God has spoken to your heart, if God has revealed your sin to you, if God is drawing you, then I can tell you on the authority of the Scripture, God will receive you if He is dealing with your heart. May God help us to understand and get a grip here as to what was going on in regard to the demonstration of His love to us through Hosea and all that it did for us. Let us pray.